God is at work at Crossroads Christian Church. We take seriously the marching orders God's given us to make disciples of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we're working hard to live out the vision He's given us to help people learn how to live and love like Jesus. At Vision Sunday in 2024, we announced 4 vision outcomes we hope to see become a reality as we continue to pursue the mission and vision God's given us. We want to become a vibrant community of worshipers that make Jesus known. We want to build biblically rooted, resilient families. We want to be more intentional in developing disciples and leaders. And we want to continue to see servant-led kingdom impact happen both locally and globally. We'd like to share some stories with you, a transformation of people's lives who continue to experience and encounter God's work. And we hope that as we see this reality happen in their life, you'll join us in praising God.
My name's Doug Howie. Been a member at Crossroads for about 5 years. I think about corporate worship as kind of like the opportunity to recharge, because a lot of us don't work in environments that are particularly Christ-centered. And so we're under really constant spiritual attack in the times between the time we spend together. And so the opportunity to come together with one another just kind of reinvigorates, recharges our spiritual battery and helps us sustain that through the week. But also, if you think about worship as a way of living, then everything we do should in some way be a form of worship. And so the understanding that we're all in this together creates a level of accountability beyond just it being about myself. It's also about us together and how we're representing, you know, Christ in front of the world.
I'm Sean Dean.
I'm Courtney Dean.
We've been married for 5 years and we have 5 kids.
We've been coming to Crossroads since 2021. I think biblically rooted and resilient families just means that even though you might have trials and things that come against you, you're still resilient in the word of God and your faith and belief that He'll be able to see you through all of the things that come up, especially in today's society. We're a blended family, so we have values in our home that are not the same values in the other homes that the kids go to. 2 of our boys went and participated in something that we would not approve of or allow and came back home and was terrified. And they both came down knocking on our door, holding their Bibles, asking if we could pray together because they were scared to go to sleep that night. So we see the works of that, because when they were scared, they knew to turn to God and wanted to pray. That was huge for us to see.
Yeah, it was.
Now we pray always before we have any meals. That's not something that we've always done. Our 2-year-old daughter can pray very proficiently,
yes.
And it's very precious. Sometimes she'll say, "We gotta pray, pray, pray," and she'll get after everybody. She wants us to pray before we have our meals.
And then not to mention, all 5 kids are always asking to pray. Who can pray? So we have to try to set days on who's praying.
Days. Yeah.
Because we're such a big family, because we have to get our prayers in too.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Carol Houston. And this is Kent Houston, my husband.
Yes, and we've been at Crossroads for about 2.5 years now.
And we taught English at University of Evansville as a second language. And they had over 350 students from 50-some countries. We made many, many, many friends and just loved it.
We started meeting people here at Crossroads who were originally from other countries, and were surprised how many. There are,
mm-hmm.
And started connecting with them. And
we have identified at this point families from 15 different countries who walk through our doors. So, you know, God's kingdom is huge and beautiful, and part of it is right here. I didn't think I was equipped to reach out for the Lord. I would tell people I'm not a missionary. At one point, I was so shy about it that I didn't even know how to tell my story on how I met Jesus. But it's interesting, God says He creates each of us for a specific job, ways to serve Him. And I think part of that is that He instills in us a heart and a passion. When we follow the Lord, He will begin to have our paths crossed with people who He wants us to be in connection with, and suddenly our hearts begin to open and the shyness left for both of us. The more He taught us and the more we reached out with where He was drawing, the Holy Spirit was drawing our heart, the more bold we became, the more confident we became in these are people that God has created, and He's got a plan for us. He wants us to reach out and love to them.
I'm Stephen Weinzappel.
I'm Kristen Weinzappel.
and we lead the Alpha Course here at Crossroads.
For me, I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians 1, where it talks about God choosing the weak things and the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. So God likes to use people that you wouldn't expect to make big impacts in the world. So you know, most of the time I don't feel wise or smart or anything like that, but you may not either, but we are the people that God chooses to use in these circumstances.
And I thought about 2 Corinthians 5. It says that when God reconciled us to himself, he gave us a ministry of reconciliation in return. And so part of our new identity as followers of Jesus is that we have been given a ministry of reconciliation, and we are ministers, every one of us, regardless of what our job title is. All of us have a role to play in the church body and in our community because of what Jesus has done, not because of anything that we've done. And so it's really just a matter of learning to live in our new identity as ambassadors, people who've been given this ministry of reconciliation, and learning how to do that. And that's for everybody.
We praise God for the work he's doing in the lives of people who call Crossroads Christian Church home, and the fruit we see him producing in the lives of others. We know he wants to continue this work as we continue to reach people who do not yet know Jesus as Savior and Lord. So keep engaging in what God's doing, and let's give him all the glory for all that he continues to do in and through us.
So for the past 3 weeks, I've been moonlighting with my day job as been a handyman, a plumber, and a tile fitter. It all stems from my wife and I decided we would try our hand at this DIY project and remodel our master bathroom. When we moved here in 2019, like, we were looking for a home, and we pulled into the cul-de-sac of which we now live. And as soon as we saw the cul-de-sac, we're like, we'll take the house. And the realtor that we were working with at the time said, do you want to go in and look at the inside? We're like, oh, okay, sure, that's probably a good idea. So we went inside the house and we're like, yep, we'll take it. Like, they encouraged us to look around, go in all the rooms. We're like, yes, this is the one. And so it was a great home. It's been great for us. It's about a 20-year-old home. It has great bones, but let's just say it needed some love, a little updating here and there. So we painted the whole house. We went through all the bathrooms and changed out the gold-plated fixtures to like the brushed nickel. That's way more cooler, you know, in this world today. And so, you know, we've tried to love the bathroom, but it has this tile that has this like pink hue to it. And the vanity top, it had another kind of pinkish kind of hue to it. We're just like, that just doesn't feel like us. And so we decided to do something about it. We saved up some money and we started to swing a hammer. Now, I've also got to use a lot of fun tools over the past couple weeks. I learned what an air chisel is. And that's how I removed all the tile. And I was able to remove the tile without the backer board, but what that meant is I was going to need an angle grinder to grind off all the mortar and all of the grout. Oh man, that's been hours. There was dust everywhere. My shop vac and I have become good friends because of the amount of dust. I've used a tile saw now for several times, and like just learning all these things that I don't really offer much skill, just a willing heart. And so with the help of my father-in-law, who can fix anything, and a trusted professional here from the church that we have hired actually to do some of the work alongside of me, we're hoping one day to be able to present the end product. Maybe Christmas, maybe the new year, 2026. It feels so far, I can't even really put a time frame on it right now. You know what I mean? This afternoon when I'm done with my morning job, I'm going to go home and grout for the afternoon. So if you're looking for something fun to do this afternoon, I have some ideas. I got to give credit. The mastermind behind this whole project is really my wife. She's the brains of the operation. And that's because she's watched literally hours of YouTube footage of how to install a Schluter shower system. She spent many hours like watching how to lay tile, how to grout tile. She is really the brains of the operation. She's also managing the budget, which is really helpful. And I would say most of all, she gets the credit for having the vision for what she wants this bathroom to look like. She can see it in her mind's eye. And so we're working, taking 2 steps forward, 1 step back, you know, getting this project done. And we hope that it'll be fun to enjoy. I was thinking about that personal experience when I thought about today. Today is Vision Sunday. One time every year, usually around this weekend, we take some time just to share how the project is going. How are we doing in living out the mission of God's church and also the vision that he's given us here at Crossroads? And so this morning, what I'd like to do is just remind us of a few things. Maybe it's helping you answer the question, who is Crossroads? And like, what are we after these days? Maybe I can provide you some updates about the vision we see that God is leading us through and towards and how that is becoming a reality more and more. My hope is that you will decide to engage in what God is doing here at Crossroads as we continue to, first of all, give him the glory for everything he has done and also continue to trust and pray that he'll continue to give us everything we need as we continue to live out the mission and vision he's given us. Let me just begin by reminding us of what the mission of God's church is. It comes from the marching orders that Jesus gave his followers right before he ascended into heaven. There was probably a couple hundred of his followers gathered in that moment, not just the 11 disciples. And when he was ready to ascend back into heaven, he said these words recorded by Matthew in 28. So Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you." And he says, "I'll be with you to the very end of the age." That one passage reminds me of a couple things. First of all, who the church belongs to. I have some friends who text me pretty often. They say, "Hey, how's everything going at your church?" And I reply back, "Not my church. It's God's church. It's Jesus' church." I say that because it reminds me that this is his church. It belongs to him. And so therefore, he is the one who gives us the marching orders. The mission of the church is actually something that we share with all those who make up the church. We're just one congregation, one part of the Big C church, as people might say. And so we share that mission with our brothers and sisters of Christ that are literally two football fields away from us at Epworth Community Church and at Christ the King Church that meets both at the corner of Lincoln and Epworth. We share that same mission with First Christian Church in Newburgh. We share that same mission with CFC Church out on Miller Road. That mission is for all of us who call Jesus Savior and Lord. One of my favorite things to do on Sunday morning happens actually between 6 and 7 a.m., well before I come here to campus. It's actually texting and praying for about 15 or 20 local pastors in our area. I pray for them by name. I pray for their family by name. And I pray for the ministries that they're leading because they are part of the same team. We're actually part of the same family. They are not the opposing team. They are not the competition. We all share the same mission. It's the marching orders that Jesus gave his church. Go make disciples. I'll just be frank to let you know that there's probably nothing that's been more personally convicting for me in the past 3 to 6 months is once again this personal conviction about the Great Commission. To go and make disciples. And that means the people that I live next to. The people that I might see at the grocery store, at the coffee shop. The person who actually runs the mechanic shop that I take my car to. Anybody that I come into contact with is potentially somebody who doesn't know Jesus yet. And the way that I live, the way that I treat them, the way that I talk, the way I interact with them, it's all potential for helping them either move closer to Christ or move further away from Christ. I'd like to challenge our entire congregation to grow in their personal conviction of what it means to make disciples. See, Jesus didn't say, go and be a disciple. He actually said, go and make disciples. And what I'm discovering is probably the best way that you and I can be a disciple is actually by making a disciple. In fact, I'll say it this way. You cannot be a disciple of Jesus unless you're actually making disciples. That's his mission. And that's the marching orders that all of us who claim Jesus as Savior have to surrender under his lordship. It brings joy to us to share with others what Jesus has done in our life. That's the mission of God's church. And we're excited, we're privileged, and actually we're humbled to be part of what God is doing as his mission continues to change the world. The vision of Crossroads Christian Church actually comes with, Wendy, what's the unique way that we can contribute to God's mission, his marching orders to make disciples? If you've been around Crossroads over the past 5 to 6 years, hopefully you know that the vision God's given us, how we can contribute to making disciples is by helping people live and love like Jesus. That feels so very broad at times. And so over the past several years, what we've tried to do is continue to look at Scripture and understand, how did Jesus live? How did Jesus love? And how can, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we follow his example in living and loving? Last year on Vision Sunday, we shared for you four different vision outcomes that we hope become a reality as we continue to live out the mission of God's church and continue to help people live and love like Jesus. And so for the next little bit, I'd just like to give you some updates on these four vision outcomes, some things we've been able to see over the past year, as well as share with you a couple things you might expect in the coming year as we continue to see God bring about these vision outcomes to reality. The first vision outcome we share is that we want to become a vibrant community of worshipers that make Jesus known. Over the past year, we've been working hard to, first of all, understand and define what the Bible means when we talk about worship. And we've shared this definition of worship with you in a teaching series earlier this year, that worship is our loving surrender to who God is and all he's done. Aslan, earlier in our worship gathering, actually shared with you an objective statement we've created that really defines how we behave when we come to worship. She said there are some specific things that should define how we gather for worship. And here they are on the screen. That our worship gatherings are times where we can gather as a community to glorify God, to encounter his presence, to yield to the transforming work of his word and his Holy Spirit, that we can care for one another, and that we can make Jesus known. I hope that you see from that definition or that objective statement of our worship gatherings is there is definitely a vertical component to our worship gatherings. But equally important is a horizontal component to our worship gatherings, that both of those are what God desires when we gather as his people. That definition, as well as that objective statement, actually have been defining how we plan our worship gatherings. Maybe you've noticed that there are some things that have changed. Maybe some things we try that are different. Or maybe there's some things we've stopped doing. All that's really in the effort to better understand what it looks like to become a vibrant community of worshipers that are making Jesus known. One of the things we've also tried to address is how people who maybe have never walked in the doors of Crossroads, or for that matter, any church, or especially those people who currently do not have a relationship with Jesus yet, how do they experience our community? What are the barriers that might be there that maybe would be something they would have to overcome just to understand who God is and how much he loves them and who Jesus is? And so we're trying to eliminate any of those barriers so that we can be really effective in not just caring for the 99, but also reaching the one. That one is the person who does not yet know Jesus. Here's what's amazing to me. I learned this in the past couple months, that if you were to go to Disney in Orlando and you wanted to know, like, what's the least of age group or what's the lowest age group that you can be to be able to ride a ride by yourself. And here's what you would find out, that all the rides at Disney are designed for an 8-year-old to be able to ride by themselves. And you might ask, well, why would it be 8 years old? Well, the largest number of people who visit the Disneyland or Disney World in Florida actually are school groups that make their way to Disney every year. And most school groups happen to be around the second grade, 8 years old. And what Disney knows is that one teacher and a few chaperones can't ride every ride with every single student they bring. And so they designed the rides to be able to accommodate an 8-year-old. It doesn't mean that you can only be 8 years old to ride the ride, but if you design it for an 8-year-old, everybody else gets to ride too. That's a little bit how we're thinking about ministry these days. How can we keep in mind the one person who does not yet know Jesus so that we can minister to them, but also minister to everyone else? It's not a one over the 99. It's doing for one what we want to do for everyone. That's just some of the ways that we're trying to become a vibrant community of worshipers who are making Jesus known. Something that you can expect in 2026 is how we're kicking off the year. I didn't tell this to the 9 o'clock group, so just let them act surprised when we let them know that the way we're starting 2026 is by fasting and praying. Aren't you excited about that? We're going to jump into 2026 with a congregation-wide initiative about prayer and fasting. We're going to learn about fasting and prayer on the weekends. We're also going to have a moment every day of the week, Monday through Friday, where we can gather as a congregation in the chapel, like 6:30 to 7 a.m., where we can worship together, we can pray together, and kind of start our day. We're going to start off the year with that. I would just encourage you now to begin practicing. Maybe set your alarm up just a little earlier so that you'll be prepared for that first week of January. If you're a young family, go ahead and practice a new routine that would allow you and all of the family to come to worship with us at 6:30 to 7 and then head out to your normal routine. If you're normally at the office by 5:30 or 6, I'm going to encourage you to think about what would it look like to come in here first and then head into work. We'll talk a little bit more as we get ready for 2026. Let's move to the second of vision outcome. It's becoming biblically rooted families who are resilient. When we think about what it looks like to be the family, what we understand is the family like never before is under attack. There's way more confusion about what it means to be family in our world today than ever. And we have a responsibility as a congregation to teach people what the Bible says about the roles that are within the family and help them navigate the pressures, the concern, the dysfunction that happens within the family. In this past year, probably some of the more public things we've done has been focused toward this vision outcome of helping families become biblically rooted and resilient. We've offered some family worship gatherings where everybody, all ages, come into the worship center and worship together. We've offered some family Bible studies on our Wednesdays at Crossroads. In fact, one of the families that was on the video talked about their experience there. Wasn't it crazy that they have to have a calendar to determine when they're going to pray because they have so many people in their family that want to pray? I don't know if that's what it's like at your family, but when we ask, like, who wants to pray for dinner, like, that's the time nobody makes eye contact, right? So wouldn't it be awesome if all of our families needed a calendar to determine who was going to get to pray for the meal or for the day? We want to be deliberate in helping families understand what the biblical role of family looks like, and be able to live that out. I'm excited that this past Monday was the first day of work for our newest team member, Jason McDowell, who's joined our team as our family ministry lead. And his primary responsibility is to help families of Crossroads understand what it looks like to live out biblical values and to be resilient. He and his family of six are making a move from Utah all the way back to Evansville. I say back because Jason grew up here in Evansville. They've been serving in Utah for 20 years, and they're really excited about joining our ministry team to help families become biblically rooted and resilient. And when I say families, I'm talking about families of all ages, families that are maybe just husband and wife right now. Families that are husband and wife and a few young kids. Families that are mom and dad when the kids have already left home. Grandparents, single parents, foster families. We know that there's a variety of types of families that make up our world today. We want to minister to each of them and help every person experience what it means to be biblically rooted and resilient. In 2026, we're going to have a teaching series about some practices that families can share together as they grow in their relationship with God collectively. And these practices actually stem from the work that a team did on the third vision outcome, and I'll talk about that right now. The third vision outcome is being intentional about developing disciples as well as leaders. A team of people have been working on this outcome, and what they wanted to do was identify what does it truly mean to follow Jesus. And they came up with a definition as well. It says this: following Jesus is a practice about being with Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and engaging on mission with Jesus. So we think about those three expressions. That kind of defines what it means to follow Jesus. And there are some very tangible things that all of us can do, not as checkboxes like did that, but as practices that are ongoing, that help live out our faith in very tangible ways. These are shared identities that we can practice as a family, a nuclear family, but also a spiritual family. We want to be people who engage in God's word. We want to become people who are known for prayer. We want to be people who engage together in worship. We want to be group of people who gather in groups because we know that community happens, our growth happens best in community. And finally, we want to be a group of people who are known as people who serve. All of these are life ongoing practices. There's not one of these say like, I've kind of got the scriptures nailed down. I don't have to really worry about them anymore. I don't really need to pray anymore. I've already served. None of that should be the posture of our heart. These should be ongoing disciplines and practices that we're growing in. And so we want to resource individuals. We want to resource families to engage in these practices as all of us continue learning how to live and how to love like Jesus. These are practices that our Savior and Lord displayed in his life. We're going to be like him. We want to follow him in every way. And finally, that leads us to the fourth outcome, and that's that we want to see servant-led kingdom impact in both local and global communities. I'm really excited about the work that continues here at Crossroads as we engage in addressing the most pressing issues of our day here locally and really around the world. I love the work that our mobilization team does, coming alongside the partnerships that exist in our community and literally all around the world, because we're trying to support and come alongside those who are on the front line serving. You might see them as the experts in their field. And we can come alongside them through resources, not just writing a check, but offering our hearts, offering our hands, as they continue to address these needs. And one of those needs that's just right in front of us is the need of people to have a safe, warm place to be when the temperatures continue to go lower and lower. And right now in our community, there actually aren't enough beds for a man or a woman, certainly a family, to have a safe, warm place to be when there are white flag moments, when the temperature goes below 32 degrees. And so instead of just trying to address that on our own, we're actually working with our local officials, we're working with our local partners to determine how can we expand and extend a safe, warm place to be when the temperatures turn. We know that there's resources involved. There's finances, but also there's heart and hands that can help to address this need. And I'm proud of Crossroads to be proactive about that and a whole host of other needs as we try to address those as God leads us. I'm really excited that in this past year that we were able to return to going and visiting the places that we've had long-term impact, places like Haiti. We sent a team there in the spring to celebrate the graduation of this year's class. We sent a team back to Kenya after many years of a hiatus, probably going all the way back to COVID. And there's many more opportunities like that in the future for you to engage your hand, your hearts, the talents that God's given you in addressing the needs that are right there in front of us. You know, one of the needs that we recognize is actually the spiritual condition of the people who live around Crossroads Christian Church. In fact, if you were to draw a circle, maybe like a 15-minute drive radius around Crossroads, that would take you maybe as far north as Interstate 64. Our good friends from Elberfeld, they know that space pretty well. If you think about 15 minutes, it might take you as far west as 41. That seems to be the natural divide between our community, west and east, except if you're a true West Sider, we all know that that's Pigeon Creek, right? Think about to the east, all the way out to Alcoa Highway. And maybe as far south as God's country, our friends who live in Henderson, Kentucky, right? I mean, we have people who come and worship regularly who engage in a high level at Crossroads from all throughout that 15-minute radius. But here's what we know. There are way more people who live within 15 minutes of Crossroads who do not know Jesus yet. And if we're serious about this mission that God's given us, it's time for us to look at the fields that are white for harvest and actually do something about it. That's why we challenged all of us who live within that 15-minute radius to think about at least one person that we know personally who does not yet know Jesus, and to begin praying deliberately, consistently for that person, to become way more one aware as we think about those ones who do not know Jesus yet, and then to activate ourselves toward them, showing them God's love in tangible ways. Being deliberate as we speak about the gospel and the difference that Jesus makes in our own life so that they would know why we live differently, why we love differently. And hopefully they would be drawn to Jesus because he's the reason that we live and love the way we do. We also have noticed that there are some key motivators. You might say that these are some pressing needs in the people who don't know Jesus yet who live right here in our own backyard. One of those needs is, and motivators is that they want to be a good family. There are husbands and wives that want to understand how to get along in that relationship. There are parents who want to do well in parenting their kids. There are many who are tired of the dysfunction that interrupts their families. They're tired of pretending they have a really great picture on their Christmas card when they know the rest of the year they are living with a lot of heartache and a lot of trouble. We believe that the Bible and Jesus can change the trajectory of any family, can actually help a family understand how to relate to each other, how to have meaningful relationships with each other. We want to provide resources and opportunity to address those felt needs. We also know that the people within that 15-mile radius or minute radius, there are people who are having an identity crisis. They are looking at the people who live next to them and saying, like, well, they have a boat, so that means we need a boat. Their kids are going to this experience, so we need to get our kids in that experience. Their only motivation is to kind of compare themselves with everybody else, whether that's on social media or just in the school drop-off line. And as long as they're one up to the person next to them, then they feel better about themselves. But we all know that's tiresome. We all know that keeping up with the Joneses does not offer us meaning and purpose in life. So we want to speak to that motivator, that need, and let them know that Jesus is the one who brings meaning and purpose to life. And they should be able to tell that by the way that we're enjoying life, experiencing life, and engaging in relationships. We also know that there's quite a few people who live within that 15-minute radius that I would describe as functional addicts. That doesn't sound like a really, you know, encouraging term, does it? What I mean by that is that they have a level of addiction in their life that they're using to just numb the pain. And some of that pain is because they're in a dead-end job. They hate what they do, and they have to go there every day to provide for their family. They have no meaning and purpose. They just feel like it's a treadmill. And so they're numbing that pain, probably with something that's a chemical that they're injecting or taking. They might be numbing that pain through pornography or through overeating. You don't hear too many sermons about overeating in church, do you? But it's something that we use to numb that pain. It could be exercise. It could be workaholism. It could be materialism. All those things are things that we wouldn't call addictions, but they're things that many of us are relying on just to numb the pain so we can get through another day. There's better help than that. There's more hope than that. That help and that hope is found in Jesus. Not because this is like a, you know, materialistic journey. This is like Jesus brings help and hope in ways that nothing else can or will. That's what we want to address as we think about having servant-led kingdom impact, both locally and globally, as we're meeting the felt needs of people around us. We're doing that through the love of God, the truth of his word, and serving the needs of those around us. When we think about these four vision outcomes, I would be remiss if I didn't let you know that over the past year, we've had a team of people working on each of these four vision outcomes. A very small amount of staff, a larger amount of people from the congregation. People just like you who are helping to move these vision outcomes forward. And I just want to say on behalf of all of our congregation, thank you to those who've invested time and energy and your perspective and the gifts that God's given you into helping move these vision outcomes forward. We feel like we've only just begun. These are vision outcomes that we see over the next 3 to 5 years bearing fruit, and we're just really almost 1 year in. And so as we continue to work through the power of the Holy Spirit, we believe that these vision outcomes will continue to transform who we are, how we're experiencing our faith, and actually the influence we have on the people around us.
As Phil was talking about, we've been doing a lot of work on our vision outcomes. And from where I sit as executive director of operations, I've been thinking, how can we take everything that we've been given, everything that we're called to steward, how can we make sure that all of those things get run through those vision outcomes? And that includes our building. So you may not know, the building was built in 1998, and it's had a lot of different iterations and seasons of growth and expansion. All of those expansion projects have been a result of a master planning process based on the vision for the congregation at that time. And if you look at our building, I mean, it has been stewarded extremely well. It is large, it has a lot of challenges, but it has met the needs, and it has been a true gift to us. And at the same time, it's beginning to show its age in a few different places. I don't know if your home is like that at times, but we see some of those things. It has its quirks, things that we would love to change. And so that has got us thinking, really dreaming about what would it look like if our building reflected our vision outcomes, and if it wasn't just a means to an end, but really helped us steward these opportunities as we ran after these vision outcomes. And so our staff and some different members of our congregation have been having some of those what-if conversations. And on the screen, here are some of the different things that have come to our mind about like how we could consider changing the building. First is this: what if we just reoriented ourselves towards Lincoln Avenue? we thought at the south entrance, and that south approach was our main entrance, and we focused all of our energy that direction. Well, what would that do? Well, then we may think about, what if our family area was a little bit more prominent, it was connected to the rest of our building? You can come in through the north entrance or through the main south entrance and not know all of the fun and activity and energy and good things that are happening within our kids' area. What if that was not the case? Okay, what if we had a dedicated and convenient space for prayer? We actually have a dedicated space for prayer. It's back here. If you tried to find it, you would get lost, either on the way to it or the way from it. And we're like, that doesn't really help. What if it was much more centrally located in the building? It was much more convenient to facilitate that. Think about our staff offices. They're scattered throughout the entire building. What if our offices were all in one place? How would that improve our ability to collaborate and to think together? What about hospitality? I mean, coffee, donuts, all important things, seating. What if that was not located in the back part of our building, kind of a darker area? What if it was more centrally located to our entrances, to facilitate that sense of hospitality and community? What if we had dedicated spaces to facilitate local engagement, not outside our building, within our building? Think about laundry facilities, showers, consultation rooms, access to the gym, so that when our community is experiencing crisis, our building is designed to allow for people to use our building to really meet those needs. Or what if just simply we had a parking lot that was redesigned that allowed for easy pickup and drop off, prioritized safety flow or traffic flow that was safe and allowed you to get in and out without worrying about getting sideswiped? Okay, that's a real concern for some people if you've navigated our south parking lot. Okay, all these things we begin to think, what if? What if? And at the same time, we're also thinking we got to continue to steward this building well. We've got roofs that we're trying less and less to leak, okay? We're trying to get those shored up. We're trying to make sure the AC units are working as they're supposed to. We need to replace carpet, all of those kinds of things. So a lot of different things we're trying to manage and think about, both the dreaming and what ifs, and we also have this building that is a great opportunity to steward. What does that look like when we think about master planning and vision outcomes and giving trends so far this year in 2025 and where we're wanting to go in 2026 with our budget target? Okay, all those things we've been considering and praying over and asking God's leading for. So with that, I want to take a second or two to talk about the 2026 giving target, our budget for 2026. On the screen, you'll see a pie graph that gives you a little bit of sense for what the distribution is. In 2026, that budget target is $4.2 million. In 2025, this current year, it's $4.15 million, so a little bit of an increase. And I can say that we really aren't cutting anything within our budget. We're continuing to prioritize the work we're doing locally and globally, work we're doing through the week, work we're doing on Sunday morning. What we're doing is we're dialing up a little bit more investment into our capital needs. That's just meeting the needs of our deferred maintenance, making sure that we continue to invest in the building and just the practical day-to-day aspects of the building. That continues to be a priority as well. What that means is between now and the end of the year, in order to hit our $4.15 million budget target, we need roughly $850,000 in giving. That seems like a big number, but in fact, that's typically what we see around this time on a Vision Sunday. In fact, it's exactly the same number we presented last year at Vision Sunday. This is just typically where we find ourselves in and throughout the year. Okay, so we continue to we ask people to continue to consider giving, continue to be generous all throughout this year. And $850,000 can seem like a huge number. I'll be honest, it's a big number to me. But as I've reflected on what does it mean to be generous, I wanted to put this on the screen. The idea of generosity, we think of it as shaping hearts and meeting needs. Generosity does both. It shapes our hearts and it helps us meet needs. And we do that through all the different gifts that we receive when it comes to our budget. Fundamental, I mean, big things when it comes to meeting needs across the globe, it also is just keeping the lights on here in the building, okay? It's all used for all of that. And when I mean keeping the lights on, I mean like literally keeping the lights on. So you may have noticed over the last couple of weeks, we've been doing a lighting project within this room, okay? It's been more than just like replacing a light bulb or replacing a fixture. We've had to replace the entire system from the ground up. Pews were having to be removed. Lift was in here to redesign and create it all, tying it up to the back of the system. So the reason we had to do that is because 3 weeks ago, if you walked in here, this is how bright the room could possibly be. This was max lighting 3 weeks ago. And now this is what we have. It's a big deal, okay? It's a big deal. You can clap for light. You can clap for light, yeah. The reason why it's a big deal is because when we can light the building properly, you can see the faces of the people next to you. If we had a name tag center, you can actually read their name. It facilitates hospitality and community. It seems like a small thing, But in fact, it can be a really, really big thing. And it's much more than lights. Okay, we're currently considering an opportunity to open up our building to allow a rehabilitative program to use our building for intellectually disabled people. Okay, that's something that we're thinking about right now. How can we steward our building? And we can only do that when we have people that faithfully give. We want every single student to be able to go to CIY to afford that and to enjoy that experience. We can only do that when people faithfully give. We can only allow Wednesdays at Crossroads to have good food and childcare to allow people to find the hospitality and community that they've been seeking. We can only do that when people choose to give. And those aren't just big gifts. I mean, every $5 gift, $50 gift, $500, $5,000, $50,000, all of those gifts are meaningful. All of those come together for us to be able to run after the vision that God has given us. Every single one, every single time. Because we want to be a place and a people that gives generously and meets the needs of those that are in this building and those that are outside of this building. So I just want to say thank you for all of us, all of you that have faithfully given financially, given your time. Okay, I have four kids. I know what it means to have to say, yes, we want to serve by holding up the door or welcoming people at the doors at Christmas Eve service. I understand that every time we say yes to something, it's an investment. It can be difficult to prioritize those things, but we see it. And we appreciate the dollars, the time, the focus, the energy. So we just want to say thank you. And for those that have given so far this year, we're going to update you with where you are in your giving history so far in 2025. We're going to send out and mail out generosity statements just so that you can be aware of where you are this year and how you may want to consider the next couple weeks leading up to December 31st. Now, I also want to say one thing for those that may not have given. If you've never given financially to Crossroads before, I just want to say it's okay. You shouldn't feel shame about that. And I'd also say it's not too late, because the invitation really comes from our Heavenly Father, not from me, not from Phil, because God wants us to give our entire lives to him in response to what Jesus did. Jesus opened his hands and died for us, and we respond to that. And so when we think about our time, our energy, our focus, the opportunities we're stewarding, and our wallets, we're trying to just open up our hands a little bit and allow God to take us by the hand and lead us wherever he wants us to. So each day that we wake up is an opportunity to grow in generosity, both here at Crossroads and outside these walls. So I just want to say, don't feel the shame, and know that you can start that journey today. Every time we gather, we try to present before the congregation ways that you can give. And that's not to coerce you. That is just to make you informed of some of the practical ways that you can do that. They're on the screen now. Today may be the day that you can begin that journey. For many of us, today is the day we want to continue that journey as we finish strong in 25, so we can run hard after these vision outcomes in 2026. Here's the thing, though. We know that God is faithful. We know that every time that he has given this congregation a vision over the last several decades, every single time he's given us the vision, he's made it come to fruition. So we trust him fully. We know that he's faithful. And it's our job to participate in that, to be open-handed and to steward what God has given us, whether that be our dollars, whether that be our time, whether it be this building, whether it be just the hopes and dreams that we have as we pursue him. So as we consider all of those things, would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we're grateful that you are in charge of it all. It's all yours, and that we get to come alongside you and steward it well. Father, thanks for loving us well. Thanks for the example of Jesus. When we think about generosity, we think about your heart towards us through his life and death and resurrection. So Father, thank you for the opportunity to dream a little bit about what the kingdom can look like here at Crossroads and beyond. Father, we're much more than a building. We're a congregation that you are continuing to knit together. So help us be one and help us to enjoy the journey as you lead us into 2025, 2026 and beyond. So thank you, Father. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.